Is word worth more than gold? I think we, and hopefully you got a chance to listen to the Order of My Steps when we did the thing on contradictions. And I kind of just went through it and showed you how some people can see some things wrong. But the most important part of that is the end part of where we hopefully understand, don't get caught up in that. Our trust in God is us going into the word to get the answer. Please be careful because people grab their stories and it gets into our emotions and then we start questioning things. And the minute we start questioning God, our faith is shaken. Now, either you believe in God or you don't. You know, I mean, I'm not going to try to convince you. That's where that has to come from, you just doing it, having faith in God and following His word. And the Bible and true Christianity is the only one that professes just to follow God. All these other religions will follow a leader, a concept, something that happened, but ours follow God. Even in Christ, we follow God. Us and Jew and the Jews do until they stop. They stop at a certain part where they didn't believe in Christ, even though their word points towards Christ. But they ignored it. So Christians right now are the only ones that kind of go just straight towards God. But with that, we've learned so far that the Bible is from God and is what God used for all ministries. He is the author of the Bible. Even though we hear names and who wrote it, they wrote it down what God put. Bible is more than a book. It's a living document. That's why it says living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. So we keep that in mind. It's us talking to Christ. He is the word. You get the word, you're talking to Christ. You're getting, when somebody say, God gave me a word, yes, he did, the word. You know, so it's kind of throws us off sometimes when they think they get some other word. I'm not saying it never happens, but as many times you hear some people happen, it does not happen in that amount based on what the word is showing us. The Bible is what is used to prepare the body of Christ to be one in faith and in relationship with Christ. If that's not what's being used, the body is not being fed, and you won't see the effects happening. And it's not just the effect of if they're not getting it, it's if they're not receiving it also. So what's the correct usage? We saw that the Bible is spiritual and must be spiritually taught and understood. And that's why when you talk about that leader or whatever, I have to understand that I can't go out to the world and just teach them the Bible. You seem like, you know, this religious whatever. And God never told us to go out there and just preach it at them. There's a way, being shrewd and how we're supposed to do it. And then as they come in, then they get to hear the teaching in a spiritual way to spiritual people. And it must be sound. You must let the Bible interpret the Bible. You must use what the Bible says completely on the topic, not just a scripture here and ignore the scriptures over there. With sound doctrine, teachings be without sound doctrine, teachings become corrupt, distorted, and misleading. That's why people can still use scripture and be misled. It's like when Satan tried to use it is written without understanding the rest. But Jesus, once again, using sound doctrine, said, yes, but it is also written. So we have that part of it. The word only works with total trust in God, as I was saying earlier. And if you don't have total trust in God, you're just reading another book and you're looking for contradictions and you're looking for ways out and you're looking for loopholes and you might as well stop. The faith is we first come in with a total trust in God. So we're going in to totally engage and grow in God. We see that church leaders must deal with the Bible correctly. That means the teachers of the word are required to present and explain. Never misrepresent the word. We got a lot of concepts and people out here and they're reading books and they're saying stuff and we put up with it, as the Bible said. We put up with it easily enough instead of holding our ministers accountable for just giving us the word in its purest form. And that's what should be happening, but it's not. We want some other things. We want to be entertained. We want to be motivated. We get all this other stuff, but we don't demand just the word. A requirement of all ministers is to hold the sound teachings. And like Jesus, teachers of the word are just to present the word that God gives, not some other stuff that some other person they admire says. We must never add to the word, never, ever. We must receive the word with the intent to do it in its totality. In other words, you're going to it to do it. You don't pick and choose. You don't go, I'll do this half of it, but that part over there, I don't do because I don't think we do that anymore. Unless the Bible says we don't do that anymore, then we still do it. And lastly, we must pay close attention to what we teach and make sure our lives display it. That's why it says watch your lives and your doctrine closely, because know what you're talking. First of all, make sure that's come from the word. Make sure that you're truly living it. And that's where we last left off. So so we're here. where it says it is our responsibility to check the message we receive. Now, I broke this down as it's broken down for what the Bereans did here. In Acts 17, verse 11, we get the greatest example of checking. And that's why I always tell y'all, please check me. And it says, now the Bereans were more noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? It says, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scripture every day to see what Paul said was true. Now, first of all, receiving the message. At times, either we're distracted by our surroundings of the church, or we're surrounded by what's going on in our minds at church, or we're distracted by we don't want to hear what we're hearing in church. We go down the line of not receiving the message. Just going to church, you go there with the purpose of I got to get what is given to me. And when we allow ourselves, and I stress the word allow ourselves to be distracted, we're hurting ourselves and those that depend on us. So the Bereans, that's the first thing that they receive the message. And then they examine the scripture how often? Every day. Now, this is something we just don't see nowadays because we're just too busy. We're too busy for God because we got so much to do. Now, realizing this is our life. Whatever we're busy with that keeps us away from God, and when God takes it away from us, we're not going to know how to react because we haven't been spending time with God. Please understand this. We're all going to go through things in life that we're not going to understand, may it be desirable or undesirable. And if I'm in the Word, I'll already know how to deal with it. That's why I said the pandemic, Christians should have thrived, and Christians fell flat on their face. Why? Because we weren't prepared, even though we had everything to prepare for. We should have been so prepared, and we were not because we were distracted. And so if we examine the scriptures every day, then when these events happen, and that was a undesirable event, but what happens when desirable events happen? We got to prepare to react in those also. And they did it to see if what Paul said was true. They didn't go into it just accepting what Paul said. They went there to check, to make sure what Paul said. Please know the difference. There are some times we'll listen to a minister, and I'm sure it happens to me off and on, and because of maybe a love and admiration or whatever, you'll just take what I said and you won't let that go, and you'll use God's word as other stuff with it, but you won't let go what's being said. And people do that with ministers instead of going, no, I want to make sure what that person gave me is in line with God. And if I can't find it in line with God, I got to push it aside until I can make sure it's in line with God, because you don't want Keith's message. You want the message of God. Very important. So this should be a constant thing. Anytime you're getting any message, don't honor or respect that person so much that you take that person's message. I don't care how profound it sounds, doesn't make it true. And please be careful, because what happens is you get what's called falseness, false teachers. And we need to beware of false teachers. And I don't think I can do this in justice if I didn't go through this study and just kind of hint upon the false teachers. Now, the false was introduced in the beginning. And one thing about the false is not just a straight out lie. It'll mix the lie with some truths and some scripture and some God in order to make us all mixed up. You understand that? And this is why we have to be alert and be focused and understand. Genesis 3, 1 through 6, we know the story, but we got to go through it again. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, why is he saying that? To make her question, well, did God really say that? And we tend to do that. We tend to go, wait, am I allowed to do this? Am I supposed to do this? You know, and we're supposed to know this stuff secondhand, but you have some people that'll stop and go, well, what am I supposed to do? And that should be, when you're confused like that, don't be upset, but be upset if you're confused like that next year and you're confused like that the year after. Why? Because the minute that confusion or whatever comes, then you want to check in God's word. So you know what? I'm going to know the answer to it. And you keep growing on that answer. You know what I mean? But see, now she did know the answer. It says in verse 2, and this is where Sister Carolyn was asking earlier, little bit was added to it. It says, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the tree in the garden, trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You must not touch it. There's a flaw there, but we don't find anywhere in the word if it caused a problem. Did Adam say that to make sure she didn't do anything? We don't know, and I don't want to add to it, but that we don't see that in God saying. We just know that they're not to eat the fruit from it, and they would die. So she got those two parts right, and then he goes in with the lie: you will not surely die. You see that? Okay, so now he's now just lying. Nope, what God said was don't believe it. And now we tend to do that. We allow false teachers to read directly in the Bible and say, don't worry about that. I told you the thing, 1 Corinthians 11, you know, you read that whole entire chapter and it talks about a topic that is sometimes hard for us to stomach. Hair, are you serious? You know what I mean? Why are we talking about hair? Why is this such a big deal? Now, the question shouldn't be, why is this such a big deal? It is, this is what the word says, got it. That's how it should be. Ours is hair. Why are we talking about hair? You see how we do this? And that's, you know, and so I could see him allowing the minister to go to you, God doesn't care about hair. And we're going, all right, thank you. And then we just do our own thing. You understand that? Instead of recognizing, this is what the word said, God said, so that's what I'm going to do. The woman, the serpent said to the woman, it says, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now he's making, and another thing that false teachers do, make you suspicious of God. Do you understand it? God really didn't mean no. He really wanted you to do this. And there's a lot of ministries that do that, to make a person go, I know the Bible said this, but he really wanted me to do this. And I understand. And me and God has an understanding, and so on and so forth. It says, and then after he added all of this stuff, and instead of the woman just focusing on what God said, it says, then when the woman saw, because it went from faith, what God said, into sight. Now I'm going to look and go, and still today see Christians doing that. They'll start off with, I know the Bible says, but. And you're like, well, why are we even, if you know the Bible says this, why is this even a question? Because I see and I heard and I know people that, and we like to put these things out here instead of understanding God said it, period. The reason why we're so far away from God is because we still allow, you know, our feelings and how we see it to get in the way. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So she sinned. That was it. But she even went worse. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, of course, people get into the argument. Why didn't he say nothing? He was supposed to be mad. We're not getting into that. The part of it is we just see an action here in which she sinned, and then she caused somebody else to sin. And we see this process going on here, and that's what happens to us, because it becomes a domino effect. Because I did it, and I feel more comfortable if you do it, and you'll feel more comfortable if they do it, and so on and so on. And you see how that concept works. False teachers, it's like they said, it'll spread like gangrene. So you got to be careful. Now, unfortunately, here's the problem with false teachers. People want to hear what they desire instead of what God is saying. If we're being, and we got to be honest on this. If we're honest on this, then we'll keep our minds focused. If not, the right person will say the wrong thing, or the wrong person will say the wrong thing, and it'll lure you in. You understand that? That's what he means in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come, and all of us have been born into that time, when men will not put up with sound doctrine. It didn't say cannot. It's a choice that I'm not doing this. I don't like this word. I don't like what it's making me do. I have freedoms. I have stuff I want to do. And they're not saying they're not going to follow the Bible. They're just not going to follow the whole Bible. Why? Because it's affecting my life, it's affecting my children, it's affecting my family, it's affecting what I want to do, my dreams. And we put all this nonsense out there and we ignore a big chunk of it. And that's why he says, instead, to suit their own desires. So it's no longer faith in God, it becomes faith in self. Because now I'm doing what I want, not what he says. It says, they will gather around them a great number of teachers. And do you notice what's happening there? They will gather around them. Now I see that, like I said, even in our thing here, I preach, you know, what the word says, and I understand it's not desirable. And when it's not desirable, people will go, well, I'm gonna find teachers that will. And there are opportunists everywhere. What do you want to hear? I will never preach on this. I've had ministers say, man, I preach more on hell, but do you know how many people leave out the congregation? That's their answer. I get it, especially when they treat church as a business. That's my livelihood. These people leave, I'm in trouble. And that's their mindset. And I get it. I get where they're coming from. But we can't compromise this sacred word because of what people want. You understand it? And we can't compromise it to make us feel I'm still Christian, but I still have the best of both worlds. Those are the ones that are going to say, Lord, he's going to go, I don't know you. You understand that? They will gather around great number of teachers, say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside the myths. We follow certain, you know, traditions and holidays and practices and things that we do that nowhere in the Bible. Like as I was saying, name it, claim it. We were talking about that last week. You know what I mean? And people love it because, you know, one, because it rhymes, I guess. But the other part of it is it gives me this power that I want to have. That's what I desire. I'd rather have that. And we pick and choose. You know, if I believe, then I'll receive whatever I ask for. I love that one. There's another one says, but you know, if it's not in his will, if your motives are wrong. No, I don't want to hear that one. I don't want to hear that. I want whatever I ask that he's going to give it to me because I believe. You understand that? We pick and we choose. So false teachers aren't some dangerous things that catch us because we're so confused and we mean well. False teachers are what we're asking for. We're like, can I get a false teacher out there? We don't realize that. We are the ones who lure them in. Now, God's word may be hard to understand and at times hard to accept. Two major things. Not always the easiest to understand, not always the easiest to accept, but it is unacceptable to change God's word to make it fit your understanding or acceptance. This is why he says, lean not on your own understanding. There are verses, even to this day, that I'm going to look at and go, I don't 100% get that. So I stop. That's it. I'll keep studying until I do get it, but that's where it has to end. The minute I go the way I see it, now we're in trouble. You understand that? The way I see it, because now I'm leaning upon my understanding of it, and then we're in trouble. And that's where it shows here. In 2 Peter 3:15-16, says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. What he means is, I mean for you to read it today, not get it today, but in your spiritual growth, you may get it 2 years from now. You may get it 5 years from now. But I want you to show your trust in me. God, I don't know what this means. I'm going to come back to it. I'm going to keep studying your word, and I'm not just going to get rid of it. But I'm going to read it, and it's going to come back to me, and I'm going to trust in you to give me the answer to this. That's what he says. It's patience means salvation, because, you know, he's allowing people the time they need in order to truly accept him and to grow in that salvation. It says, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them in these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. And there are some things in the Bible that are very hard to understand. It says, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scriptures, which is solidifying the fact that the letters he's writing are scripture and that he's letting you know there are other scripture. And he was like, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do other scripture to their own destruction. Now, to their own destruction part, first of all, people that do that, people are writing their books and stuff like that. I don't care what title comes in their name. They set themselves up. And it didn't say God's just going to punish them or take away rewards. He's saying to their own destruction. So that's huge. That's the first part. You understand that? It's better to go, I don't know, than for you to distort it or to start filling in the blanks. Oh, God doesn't mind that. Just ignore that verse. Do this verse. Please be careful of that. There's destruction in line for them. And he calls them these two things, ignorant and unstable. You know, and ignorant is they don't know. They could be the most knowledgeable, but he's saying they just show they don't know. And unstable is the exact opposite of what we're supposed to. You want somebody that's staying on that straight and narrow, not, you know, on this side of the line, on that side of the line. So these two things are where they are. This person is very dangerous. You understand that? So don't get excited when somebody explains something by distorting the word. As you grow and you spiritually understand it, you'll see them putting in, you giving you structure and understanding based on what the word said. Now, those who add or take away from the word are false teachers. Okay, they're counted in that just like any other false teacher who are just teaching you some false doctrine. But when they take away some things and add, even though they're using the Bible, just from the taking away or adding to it, then that's a false teaching. It shows in 2 John 9-11. It says, anyone who runs ahead, that's adding to it, and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Making that very clear. You understand that? Runs ahead means I got the word. Now here's a new thing. Here's something else I'm adding. And they can actually take away stuff. Runs ahead means, you know what? We've studied this. There was a guy I heard on TV the one time, and he said, Revelation is not valid for us anymore. Man fixed it. Man made the right turn to where Revelation, this is a minister that they were, you know, and the news was asking him some other questions. And when he brought that up, I'm like, where the heck did he get that from? Where did he get that from? But of course, because he, you know, he's his minister and he was well known. I wish I knew his name because I would give it to y'all. But it's one of those, after he said that, it was where you're going to have some people go, oh, okay, I guess I don't have to follow Revelations anymore. Because you have some people that say, hey, tongues are not valid anymore and gifts are not valid anymore. And they'll say all of these. Main reason, because they just don't see it in that way. And because you had other people that really distorted it and used all those things in the wrong way. Not what the Bible said. Okay, he says, whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. That's part of the fruit. All of this is part of the fruit. When I continue in the teaching, you're hearing me just teaching this word. Nothing will change from it. I'm not going to get some book or some something from somebody else and some new thing that they're now doing. They're preaching and everything should be the same out of God's word. He was like, if anyone comes to you, now here's the big thing, and does not bring this teaching, in other words, the word of God, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Now, some say, hey, does that mean that Jehovah's Witness? Jehovah's Witness are counted totally outside because they're not in the word of God. Okay, they're counted as a cult, just like Mormons, just like the Muslims, just like anybody that comes outside and they're teaching anything outside of Christ. You understand that? Or teaching Christ outside of what the Bible says. That's, so it's not, it's talking about somebody who considers himself a Christian, but the stuff they're teaching is not in the word of God. Y'all get this? And he makes clear, anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. That you're going to find yourself answering to God. You may have said nothing to it, but here you are partnering with this person who's giving false stuff. This is why Christians, if you hear them giving false stuff in the most loving way, you have to go, you got to show me that in the Bible. And then if they keep doing it, hey, you can't do that. I, you know, if you want to believe that, you can believe that, but you got to show me in the word. And I always try to challenge in that sense of, show me in the word, then we could talk about it. But if you keep doing this stuff based off of what somebody said, now we have a problem. And if I then welcome you, I'm part of the problem. And that's a big part of it. False teaching will give rules that are not based on sound doctrine. There's that word, sound doctrine again. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 8. This is, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow, watch this, deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. So not only are this false, they're things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Now, why is this so important? Because he's getting ready to show us as we go through some of these things. And this is why I was saying, please be careful of the conspiracies and stuff that you hear. And why? Because after you hear them, then they'll tell you, this is what you need to do. And they're going to give you stuff that usually has nothing to do with the Bible. And they're calling themselves Christians, but you're now so scared because you heard something, you allowed it to catch your attention. You're going to follow this junk that they're telling you to do. And that's why I say such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with hot irons. They forbid people to marry. Not a person saying, I'd rather not marry. They forbid. You can't marry. Now, you have homosexuals using this line saying, see, they're forbidding us from marrying. Please, once again, if you don't use sound doctrine, you get caught up in that thing that they just said. Just letting y'all know that. Okay? But in other words, if as a pastor, I went, you can't. Like David Koresh, I don't know if y'all remember that. He was another cult leader. That's what he did. Y'all can't marry anymore, and all your wives are now my wife. That's what he did. He took everybody's wife, and they weren't allowed to be married, and it was the weirdest thing, and people stayed. To this day, even after he's dead, people still follow him as the Christ. It, you know, but I don't know how people get that warped, but it happens. And so that's one thing. He says, forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods. If God didn't say do it, if a person chooses not to, but when you hear these people, and you get some people, Christians who will run their businesses, that'll use God as their source of why you shouldn't eat something. Nothing wrong with you saying, maybe it's not good for you to eat this. You can say that, but when you start now adding God, you shouldn't eat this, that's ungodly. Where is that at in the Bible? Even though in the New Testament, he says all he called all food clean. But we added to that. And he goes on, which God created to be received with thanksgiving. That's the key. Not only we got to teach more, we're receiving it with thanksgiving. That's why, like I said, you know how people say so and such bless the food. It's like we're doing something to the food. The thing that blesses the food is when I receive it with thanksgiving. So my prayer isn't, God, please bless the food. My prayer is, thank you for the food. Do you understand that? And in doing that, that protects it. You know what I mean? It says, by those who believe and who know the truth. By Christians, it helps those. It says, for everything God created, is good. Do y'all see this? Okay. It's telling you. So now when you come up here, nothing wrong with you saying, I'd rather not eat it. That's fine. When you start now putting it off on God, which many do, it becomes a major problem in there, and it causes confusion. It says nothing is to be rejected if it is received, with thanksgiving. Then it goes on verse 5, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. Two things. The word said it's clean, and because I prayed over it, giving thanks for it, I clean. It's clean. You understand that? And this is what makes it. So we're doing it by faith because he said I could eat it. So eat it. If you just choose not to eat it, that's your choice. But don't make it a religious, God said you shouldn't be eating pork. God said you shouldn't be eating this. God said you shouldn't be eating Doritos. I don't know where you get these from. And be careful of that. You know what I mean? When we add that stuff. All right. Somebody asked one time, yes, nutritionists may say like sugar is bad. Absolutely. You understand that? And we know what nutritionists say. But I can't now then say, oh, I can't put it in my body. My body's a temple. I have to understand how I'm doing it and what I'm doing. But don't try to make it religious when God didn't do it, if that makes sense.
Question.
Yep.
I just want to make sure, guys, I'm starting to get a little confused.
Okay.
Crabs and scallops and all that kind of stuff, which, yep, you know, clean the bottom of the ocean.
Yes.
So it's now called clean.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though it's unhealthy, you can say it's unhealthy, but because God says it's clean, you still can eat it and suffer the consequences from eating it.
Absolutely. If you choose not to, now if you ate it and you struggle with it by faith, now you're messing up because your faith is not there. That's what first Romans 14 says. Do you get where I'm coming from?
So even though it's still unclean because of what it does, right? As far as eating.
Absolutely. As far as what science and nutritionists and all those say, absolutely. We can put that out there. But we can't use it as a religious thing. Because it's not just unclean because of that, but it's unclean because of what man has done and what all this other stuff. But yeah, as an animal, what it does, it eats from the bottom. But if God says it's clean, we can eat it, because that cleanliness and uncleanness represented something else that had nothing to do with food, but we took it too far, as humans do, and we ran with it. So you choose not to. If a person chooses not to say, out of my diet, I choose not to eat this because I think it's bad for my body. Praise God. Then you're good.
Wait a minute. You said that it wasn't unclean. It was something to do with something else. You're talking about the spirit, the rituals and things that being called unclean, a woman being unclean when she's on menstruating and things like that. That's what you're talking about.
Absolutely.
But you're saying that in the scripture, but it gave the different things that we're not supposed to eat with the split in the hoof or whatever, yep, and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So.
But then he said in the New Testament, you're able to eat them. Because what he was showing us, what they represented, was the difference between clean and unclean in a spiritual matter. He was showing us how close those things were and how particular they were, how close they looked. Because remember, you can eat two animals that look a lot alike, but just one small thing, a cloven. What he was showing us physically, which the Old Testament did, we now do spiritually. So we understand how close they are. And this is why we have to be alert. This is why we have to be obedient to him. But of course, people took it too far and still just said, so I'm not eating that because it's unclean. And that's what he had to tell them. Wait a minute. I'm not saying you can't eat. We're reading it here, clearly here, where he says you can eat everything because everything is created by God. You get where I'm going with that?
So the bottom line is, if you eat unclean food, you just have to have faith to eat it and pray over it, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Or not. If you don't want to, don't do it. You know what I mean? And when, of course, we got to eat it with moderation. We got to eat it not being gluttons with that. But, you know, because everything we're putting in our body, how we're putting into it, what we're doing it for, and the purpose. But he said it's consecrated, which means it's cleansed. It's even that by what? The word of God and by prayer.
Is consecrated set aside or what?
Yeah, it's consecrated is made clean or made okay or made whatever in that sense. Now, okay. Doesn't mean it won't poison you. Doesn't mean it's not bad for you. No. It's just meaning by faith, I'm going to eat this and whatever happens, happens. That's what we were talking about in certain things. Sometimes we do things, and I think to make us feel better of what we're not doing, we didn't add God to the equation. When God said, I didn't add me to the equation, don't do that. You understand? Mm-hmm. If you choose not to do it, that's up to you. Romans 14. Okay. Mm-hmm. But don't say, I'm not doing it because I'm being godly. I don't eat that stuff because it's godly. It's unclean based on God. God's like, I didn't say that. I gave it to you in the Old Testament. I explained it to you in the New Testament. Now make sure you're preaching the right thing. Don't mix the two or use it when it's convenient for us, is what he's saying to us.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yep.
Yep.
So to clarify.
Yes.
We can eat whatever we want now because it's clean, because we're not living in the Old Testament.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Yep. Because we're spiritual now, to where that was a physical way to show a shadow of the things to come. What they did with, not just with food, but like she was saying about what they did with women on their cycles, and what people did when they had to be separated from their people. He was showing in a physical way uncleanliness. We as Christians now should see that spiritually. We know the difference between when something's clean and when something's unclean, when something's worldly, when something's spiritual, when something's righteous, when something's wicked. Sometimes they look very similar, but a Christian understands God will be my guidance on that. And that's how we do it. But many kept it as food. And those who keep it as food, as it says in Romans 14, by all means do it, but don't make it by God. Don't do that, because then now you're distorting it. Hopefully that helps. Good question. Thank you for asking that, because a lot of people are struggling with that, because that was so defined in the Old Testament. They're still stuck in it, even though this is so defined here in 1 Timothy. And it goes on in verse 6. He says, if, watch this, you point these things out to brothers, you will be a good minister. See what I'm doing? I'm a good minister. No, okay, praise God. But hopefully y'all understand that. That's my responsibility. You have some that won't do it, because I mean, it's a common thing where people are like, I know what that stuff does to your body. Let me tell you what to do in the water. Science has come to the point, and I'm not saying they're wrong, and I'm not saying stuff that's not going in our body, but I know what the Bible says. So by faith. And I think a lot of times why we're still affected by things of the world is because we're not walking by faith. We half step. We're double-minded. You know what I mean? I'm worshiping science as well as God. God always trumps science. I'm not saying never listen to science. God is the one who created science. But just like we're supposed to obey authority other than when they tell us to go against God, we can listen to science until it tells us to go against God. Always keep that in mind. It says, good ministers of Jesus Christ, brought up in truths of faith and of good teaching that you all have followed. Have nothing to do, watch this, with godless myths. What's a godless myth? When somebody tells you a story, you can't find it in the Bible. You know what I mean? And old wives' tales, that's what they're saying. You hear these stories, they sound great. I can't find it in the Bible. I can't deal with it. He says, rather train yourself to be godly. In other words, rather train yourself to do what the Bible says, to live as the Bible says. And says, watch this. For physical training is of some value. Now, this is where this point means here. So somebody may say, I'm going on this diet where I'm not eating this, I'm not eating this, I'm not eating this. Very good. And you're going to see some value. You understand that. And that's great. And there's some people on some nice diets, and they've seen some changes in their body and stuff. And they spend more time on these physical trainings, these fleshly trainings, which have some value. I can cut certain things out of my diet. Now, a Christian who's living godly, they'll still be able to eat. And I'm not saying they're going to become gluttons, because that's not godly. And they're not just going to do everything they want, because that's not godly. But they're more strict on just following what the word said. They'll read what this says, and they'll say, okay, it's not about food. Okay, how do I eat food, God? And you're going through the word. Because remember, it says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it all to the glory of God. And you'll be focused on that. And it says, see, as physical training has some value, you'd see some changes in your life. Godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Satan will be more than happy to give us a diet and an exercise that'll seem to benefit us right now till the day we die. You understand that? After we die, it's done. You're not going to come out going to heaven and say, Keith is still fit because he was working out when he died. No, it's going to have nothing to do with it. I'm getting a whole changed body, because this flesh is not going anywhere after that. It's dead. So I can work out. So it's nothing wrong for me to add those things and feel good about it, but it cannot be my motivator. Okay? And we must be aware of dangerous teachings not from the word. Okay? Matthew 16:12 says, then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of Pharisees and Sadducees. You know, we hear things like Joel Osteen. I mean, there's a ton of ministers out there that give some things that are downright dangerous. And we grew a respect for some of these people. And this is what Jesus had to keep telling them, because these people were following these people that were respected teachers. And the reason why he called it yeast is from what yeast does. It just needs a little bit of that teaching and the way it spreads. And you see it today. You see some teachings that are not in the Bible that some people hold on to as Christians. And you want to go, why? What are you doing that for? Bible doesn't say that. And they passionately hold on to this garbage, dangerously hurting people in the Bible. I mean, in the body. It also shows us in Romans 16, 17 through 18. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way. And it's talking amongst the Christians. It's not talking about divisions amongst the world. If you and your homies or whoever are hanging out and you're not all Christians and people cause divisions, that's just in the world. That's a worldly thing. It's talking about between the body. And this is the reason why this one confuses sometimes, because the body's not being the body. There's an order of my steps, God willing, that we'll be doing concerning how family works, and we'll talk about that, because good, some excellent questions came up with the women's question and answer, so that we're a step, not this upcoming one, but the one after, God willing, we will hopefully touch upon that. But if we were a body the way we were, if this is talking about when you see somebody trying to separate the body, do you understand that? Somebody coming in and they're bringing up stuff that have nothing to do with God, and they're trying to do it with this group over here, and these are my friends, and I really understand you. They don't understand you. It's us against them, and team this and team that. It doesn't work that way. He says that are contrary to the teachings you have learned. Y'all catch that? So the obstacles they're putting go against the word. It says keep away from them. Now that's avoidance. That's when a Christian knows this person's of no good. He keeps trying to separate. It says, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. They're trying to gather their own groups, their own cliques, their own people that like them, and put you out. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. And that's a common practice, even in the body, in which I'm going to grab my little group. We're going to all understand what we understand, and we're going to talk bad about everybody else, or we're going to separate from everybody else, not realizing you got to answer to God for that. And we must make sure false doctrine is not taught in the church. That's why you question, Pastor, where's that at in the Bible? Hey, you, where is that at in the Bible? 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 4 says, as I urged you when I was in Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrine. I've had to do that multiple times as a pastor, multiple times, where people would start teaching things. I'd pull them aside and say, you can't teach that. It's not in there. You understand? And I would always give them the chance of, let's sit down, let's talk about it. But you got people that teach some things that are tradition, but not biblical. He says, not to teach false doctrine anymore. He says, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. When he says devote themselves, just going back to the food thing, we have diets and we have books and we have all these things out here that you can read on some fascinating things on what's going on there. I remember a movie came out where tried to make everybody vegetarians, and it was a documentary, very well done. People watched it, and I've seen people that were more focused on what they were eating out of that than they were in the Word of God. They were distracted. Nothing wrong if it's a side thing that's interesting and you keep it like that, but when I start making that my Bible, I'm distracted. And I get caught up in, like I said, myths. I'll hear stories and I don't get to hear the full story, and I hear part of it. And like I said, endless genealogies. You know, this really came from this person who was really born from this person. They came from this person. They came, and you didn't know this came from this person. And that's why you should be doing. And we get caught up in some nonsense that he says these promote controversy rather than God's work. Once again, distraction. God's work is by faith. The word says this, this is what I'm doing. Let me study the word more to see what I'm supposed to do, and that's what I'm going to do. My focus has to be on God's word. Has to be on God's word.
I have a question.
Yes.
So, is there a scripture, watch and pray?
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
It just makes me, I mean, when you talk about false teachings, but being distracted, it makes me think that you really have to be not looking at nothing, because everything and anything nowadays is a distraction.
No, that's a good point, but let me rephrase it. Not looking at anything, but understand what you're looking at.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with, like, say, I love science. Anybody knows me, I love science. My wife calls it boring, but I love science. But that's all it is. I'll watch it and turn it off, and it doesn't take away from the word, doesn't take away from my time in the word, and it never even take a hint of me saying what science said this, but the word says this. Oh, now I'm confused. It never does that. Okay. And that's, I have to do that. But I can look at that and call it interesting or whatever and see what they're saying. So we do have to kind of watch to see what the world is saying, but the word is our source of truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we go into. What ends up happening with humans is we'll read the word and then we'll hear somebody go, and we'll go, oh, but I've been doing this, what God said. Now you're telling me they just proved this. Should I not do it? Now I'm confused. There is no confusion. God said, do this, do this. And a lot of it is going to be a matter of faith, because by sight, this person said, looks like it works. But God said, I told you to do this.
Well, does the Holy Spirit have a part in that? You know, your spirit, Holy Spirit, like you get this, like, you know, something is wrong with what's being said or what they're taught. And then you go, okay.
But if you're leaning on the spirit and not leaning on the flesh, because people are leaning on the flesh. That's why people have blamed their emotions on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Have you felt bad about something? People felt bad about something before they were Christians. The Holy Spirit had nothing to do with it.
Right.
You understand? Holy Spirit will always be in line with God. The way you'll really notice the Holy Spirit, it's almost what God said, you know, oh yeah, I can't do that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's the Holy Spirit's always, because the Holy Spirit is God. While it's a deep feeling you get, we feel guilty and we feel bad and we get these gut feelings. That's usually us.
Right. Okay.
Amen. So understand how all this comes into play, because it falls into us allowing these doctrines to get out there, and we keep promoting them, we keep forcing them. Pergamum, which one of the seven churches that we see in the Revelations, serves as an example of how God feels of teachings and receiving false doctrine. Revelations 2, 14 through 16, he says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. So he's talking about Pergamum. He says, you have people there who hold to the teachings of Balaam. So in other words, you know there are people in your church that are teaching other things. Now, the teaching of Balaam, he shows right there, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Now, if y'all remember the story, Balaam's the one whose donkey talked to him, because Balak and the rest of them hired him to come in and to curse Israel. And he was like, the donkey showed me through the angel of God that I can't curse who God has blessed. Okay, and that, to us, that was the end of the story, until the Bible now, through sound doctrine, said, but this is what he did, because he was hungry for money. He went, so let me tell you what you should do. I can't curse them, but if you would send them food by sacrifices and send your women over to them, you'll curse them. They'll curse themselves. That's what they did. And you've seen a lot of that in there. And that's what he says. They start holding to those teachings. That's what you have today, where people start mixing nonsense with the Bible. He says, likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Now, what these people have taught, and they're very dangerous, and there's rumor that they came from Nicholas. He was one of the six, the first deacons. But the teachings of them was more of a, hey, your body's flesh, it's going to sin, so go ahead and do that. Because you're going to go ahead and have sex and do everything you're going to do and whatever you're doing, because that's going to sin, as long as you're spiritual. As long as it's not affecting your spirit, let your body do. And they start, you know, adding sex. It was crazy what they taught, and people start doing it. And he says, repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. What does that mean? There are things that the Bible said that's going to happen to people that are doing this. And he was like, if you don't cut it out and turn away from it, that's what I'm going to come after you for. And churches are allowing some of this nonsense. Y'all get where I'm coming from? This nonsense, following these teachings, and they're just allowing it to happen. Those that preach false gospels are doomed for hell, plain and simple. Galatians 1, 6-9 says, I am astonished that you are quickly deserting the one who called you by grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Now watch what he says, and he says, he repeats it, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. They're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. How do you notice? The stuff they're preaching, not in the word of God. You understand? I told you there was somebody who found, they called it the revelations of Peter. And what the revelation of Peter supposedly says is, even the people that are going to hell, God's going to go, you know what? I was just playing. Everybody's going to heaven. And that's basically what the end of this book says. And you have ministers that have left, and that's what they're teaching. And that's dangerous, because it's not the gospel. It's not how the gospel works. It says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Now, let me show you that. That's not eternal security then. He was like, he's talking about the apostles. If we or even an angel were to now start preaching this other nonsense, condemned to hell. And he says, as we have already said, now, so I say it again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what we accept, let him be eternally condemned. That's hell. Please understand that. Let's finish up. All right. Our true weapon and protection. This is what the Bible has to be. So this is how we deal with the Bible when we hold on to the Bible, when we live by the Bible. We are kept from being deceived by using the Bible as the foundation. Okay, that's our problem. By adding some other stuff to it, only reading some, listen to these people and their fine sounding arguments. It goes in Ephesians 5, 6 or 7, let no one deceive you. Y'all notice how he says that, let no one deceive you. So when you, those who feel confused, as if somebody confused you, they did something to you. No, what God is saying, no, you allowed it to happen to you. That's why he's saying, don't let that happen to you. Let no one deceive you with empty words. So what does he mean by that is, the only reason why you're confused is because you allowed yourself to be confused because you didn't check in the word. Is that in the Bible? No. Then why are we talking about it? It should be almost instant. Like, if you see that thing that that person told you to do in the word, well, no. Then why are you talking about it? Oh, okay. And that should be it. He says, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. If I end up doing it and I play the confused card, I'm still in trouble. Unlike humans, you're still going to be on the end of God's wrath. He says, therefore, do not be partners with them. Don't let the excuse be, it sound right and I was scared and all this. No, I couldn't find in your word. I'm not doing it. You understand that? And those led by sound doctrine will truly understand right and wrong. Why? Because they're studying the word and they're studying that topic completely in his word. 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 10 says, we also know that the law is made not for the righteous. See, the law was made because the people who were righteous understood we can't be righteous. You understand? People who are righteous realize my righteousness is from Christ. People who didn't, but it was for the lawbreakers. Why? Because these are the people that realize I'm righteous. They think they're righteous in themselves, but they saw that they're lawbreakers, they're rebels, they were ungodly, they were sinful, they were unholy, irreligious, those who killed their fathers and mothers, or murderers, for adulterers, perverts, slave traders, and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine. What does that mean? The law was to show those people what they really were. See, the righteous already knew I'm a sinner. The righteous already knew. You remember when Job would do sacrifices for his kids just in case they sinned? Remember that? That's why his, what made him righteous is it was credited to him for his belief in God and understanding who he is. That's what makes us righteous. That's why the law wasn't needed. It was like, I can't do this, so I'm just going to be obedient to you. I can't be righteous, God. So thank you for even giving me this grace. We understand that. But the people that think I'm a good person, I'm this, he's showing, you know, you're really a lawbreaker, a rebel, or ungodly, so on and so forth. You understand that? But only when you know sound doctrine that you recognize, this be no question, then you know you're not righteous. I do the sermon on all are evil. You got it. You're like, yeah, I know that. And this is why I need Christ. The Bible provides everything we need for our daily spiritual battles. Ephesians 6, 16 through 17 says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Keyword, all. Do y'all see this? I can extinguish. That means everything Satan throws at you, you can stop. There is no, you know, it stops most of the things in my faith. No, the shield of faith. You have the right faith. Satan can do nothing to you. Now, when you hear people start doing this, I told Satan to get out of my face, and I told Satan this, and I said, and the enemy tried to do this, and we start talking stuff that's not in the Bible, you're putting down your shield, and I don't know what you're picking up. Think about that. Have you ever heard people say certain things? I heard people, I don't bring this in my house because it brings in this. Where is that in the Bible? So you put down your shield. When you start adding all these other concoctions and other things to fight Satan, and it's not in the word of God, you put down the shield. He's getting through. Think about that. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. Helmet of salvation, where I'm going to think as a saved person, and the sword of the spirit, where everything I deal with, like Jesus, it is written. Yeah, it is written. We're about to see that. Faith comes from the messages that are from the word only. It protects us. You understand that? When I just believe in the word. That's why I'm glad Sister Caroline asked about the food thing, because if I distort the word and I get caught up in some of the things that science or people are telling me and these experts and stuff like that, even though the word says this, it's allowing me to put that shield down some. And things like, I'm getting some darts in there. And that's why I'm so confused and messed up. Why? Because I have my shield halfway. I hold the shield up. He can't touch me. I'm like, I'm just doing what the word says. But people said, if you eat this, it's going to blah, blah, blah. Okay. You understand that? I'm going to follow what the word says. Faith comes from hearing the message. So that's why my job is to preach what the word says, and not just preach what the word says. And the message is heard through the word of Christ. That's why you got to check what I'm preaching. If you just go to a church and you were inspired what they preached, but you didn't check what they preached, and if it wasn't the word, what you got was not faith. Think about that. You might have got a feel-good message, but it wasn't faith. Because faith comes from hearing. First, you heard that message, so you did pay attention. But if it's not from the word of God, very important. The word provides the ingredients we need to live saved. If I call myself a Christian, the word will give me my step-by-step of how I'm supposed to live. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence," watch what he says, "continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And as explained, the fear part is the reverence we have for God, recognizing he's God. The trembling is, I don't want to be on the other end. You understand? So you're walking carefully going. So that's why there's certain things he may not answer, and you'll go, I don't know, so I'm not doing it. You understand that? When in doubt, I'm not doing it. You get some Christians go, he didn't say no. You know how kids do it? They didn't say no. And we're mocking God. Instead of us going, I'm not sure, so I'm not doing it. I don't have a direct answer. And he does that to see where we are. Fear and trembling is that I revere God, not playing games. That's why he says in verse 13, it is God who works in you to will and act according to his good purpose. It's not, hey, you act in you to my good purpose. No, he's saying, I'm the one doing this. Let me do it. I know what I'm doing. Make sense? Last thing. Displayed by Jesus, the word is what we use for all of our battles. In Matthew 4, 1 through 4, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, of course, he hit something, and tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, and I'm just showing part of it, it is written. And he does that throughout this. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus understood my answer to everything that happens down here is the Bible. Because what he said, like he said, you can make, you know, you're hungry. You haven't eaten for 40 days, 40 nights, man, you're hungry. Make turn stone to bread. You ain't going to find anything there that says you can't turn stone to bread. And he made sure, but I know what the word does say. Please understand the importance of this word. Be careful not to be those who are just reading it and just, you know, writing. This is my instruction book that I'm going to follow, and I'm going to diligently follow it because it's my true protection. Let's not play games with God, because then we end up playing games with ourselves. Any questions? All right. Praise God. All right. No other questions. Hopefully you're blessed by this. It should be back on the website sometime tonight. And if we have no questions, let us pray out. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much for your word. And we thank you for the teachings of your word. And let us take this sacred word that you have given us and stop allowing ourselves to allow what other things we see to be a distraction to us. Let it be the source of truth, and the key word, the, in our lives, dear Lord. We want to walk by every word you say, and recognizing we're going to see things around us, but we will not allow it to take our attention away from you. So as we do this, dear God, let us help one another. Let us grow as a body. Let us fellowship in this, dear Lord, not allowing all these things around us to make us so weak and so as and make us unprepared and unprotected. We thank you so much for the love you give to us to even provide this word for us and provide the Spirit in us, dear Lord, because you didn't have to do it, because we did nothing to deserve it. But we give you the glory and the praise for offering. Can't thank you enough for all that you continue to do for us and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say, amen.
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 Love you all.
Love you too. Amen. Thank